Book of Genesis for a while now. And we've come to Genesis chapter 5, and this morning we want to look at Genesis chapter 5 and verse number 28 and verse number 29. It's a testimony of Lamech. And as we read Genesis chapter 20, or chapter 5, and we read of the generations from Adam down to Noah, many verses are just that someone lived and then someone died, and there's nothing more said about them. And in Genesis chapter 5, and actually in Genesis chapter 4, the last part of Genesis chapter 4, and verse 26, when it speaks about Seth, and then in Genesis chapter 25, and verse 21, it speaks about Enoch, and then in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 28, when it speaks about Lamech, there's some more things that God gives us to take note of. And this morning we want to look at Genesis chapter 5 and verse 28, where the Bible says, "And Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son. And he called his name Noah." And the word Noah means rest. "And he called his name Noah, saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning that we can open up the very word of God and learn what you would have for us to know this morning, that it might affect our hearts and our lives. Lord, we pray that you'd have your way during this message this morning and bring glory to yourself. We give you all the praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen. One of the interesting things about Genesis chapter 5 that is important to realize is that when you read down through and it says someone lived and then someone died and then the next person lived and the next person died. One thing we need to remember is back then the lifespan of an individual was a lot longer than it is today. And the result of that is that as you read through this, sometimes we fail to understand that their lives overlapped in a big way. For instance, when we read of Lamech, it's interesting to note that for the last 56 years of Adam's life and the first 56 years of Lamech's life, they lived. In other words, Lamech lived during the last 56 years of Adam's life. Stop and think about that. I know Carol's looking like, really? Yes. Lamech lived during the time of Adam. And when you think about that, imagine this. Just think about this. That Lamech, who speaks about Noah, saying, "The same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed." It's quite possible and probably more than possible, more probably a reality, that Lamech had actually heard Adam speak about what it was like to live before the curse. Stop and consider for a moment. We read Genesis chapter 2, if you want to turn back there. Reread Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 8. "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed." And we read the next few verses about what it speaks about the garden before sin and before the curse. But can you imagine as a young man of about 45, 50 years old, sitting down with the man that God put in the garden. Just stop and consider what it was like from just as close as we are one to another. Possibly hearing Adam speak about what that garden was like. And Adam saying, "Boy, what a place. Every tree that was pleasant to the sight, good for food, God planted there. The tree of life in the midst of the garden. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In a river." Can you imagine Adam speaking to you, speaking to Lamech? You should have seen the river. You should have seen the river that watered that garden. You should have seen the trees. You should have seen the fruit. You should have seen the beauty of that garden. You should have seen what it was like to walk in that garden with the presence of God in the cool of the day. And then Adam would go on to have to talk about how he had sinned against God. And oh, with great sorrow, he would speak about how he had sinned and disobeyed the one commandment that God gave and ate of that tree. And then Adam would go on to speak about the curse. Genesis chapter 3, where the Lord spoke to Adam in verse 17, "Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, and cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return." Imagine what it was like for Lamech to hear the testimony of Adam. Then Adam would die, and for 113 years, there was another man that Lamech would know. A man by the name of Enoch. A man who the Bible says Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Can you imagine what it was like for Lamech as he fellowshipped and communed with such a man as Enoch? A man who the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And then all of a sudden, Enoch's gone. Adam has died. Enoch is all of a sudden taken up from them. And there was another man that Enoch had lived and fellowshipped with, a man by the name of Seth. We read of in Genesis chapter 4, a man whom the Bible says that after Seth was born, that it was then that men began to call upon the name of the Lord. After Enoch had been taken up from this world in the glories of the presence of the Lord, 55 years later, Seth dies. And so Adam has died. One who walked in the garden. One whom by sin came into the world. One whom by the curse that God would pronounce upon this earth came into reality. Enoch has been taken up from him. Seth has died. And 14 years later, after the death of Seth, the Bible says that Lamech had a son. As Lamech looked around at life, and as he looked around and beheld the curse that God had placed upon this earth because of sin, and he felt the weariness and the toil and the hardship and all that we experience because of sin. I mean, you stop and think about it, folks. The weariness of this life, the toil of this life, the heartaches of this life, it's all because of sin. And Lamech has a son. And he says, I'm going to name this son Noah. Because it could be, he says, could be that this same one shall comfort us concerning the toil and the work of our hands because of the ground which the Lord has cursed. Why? Why did Lamech name his son Noah? Why did Lamech, as his son was born, why did he say, Noah, rest? Three reasons. Number one, and by the way, think about this. This is just a side note to this message, but think how blessed we are this morning to have the complete Word of God. I mean, we read of, okay, I'm getting off track just for a minute here. Give me 3 minutes to get off track, okay? Starting now. But just stop for a minute. We read in Genesis chapter 2 of the garden. We read in Genesis chapter 3 of the curse. And in a moment, we're going to look at the promise that was given. But you know, we can go all the way over to the book of Revelation. And we can read what God allowed John to see of not only things that had already come to pass, not only things that were present, but the things which will shortly come to pass. In Revelation chapter 4, the Bible says that the Lord said to John, come up hither and I will show you things. And you go to the end of the book and we read of all the glories of eternity and what it's going to be like. And in Genesis chapter 22, it says one thing. There'll be no more curse. No more curse. As Lamech looks around and as he just thinks about the curse because of sin, the Bible says that there'll be no more curse in an eternity in the glories of God. In heaven, no more curse. There was a man that wrote a book, Randy Alcorn. He wrote a book all about heaven. Very interesting book, thick book. But he just took the scriptures and he just started to think about all the things that heaven must really be like. And you know, that's really where our heart needs to be. What's it really going to be like? What's it really going to be like? But Lamech is here in Genesis chapter 5 and has a son named Noah. And in the Hebrew, it means rest. Rest. And he says, this same one shall comfort us concerning the work and the toil, labor of our hands because of the curse. Now, Noah would not be the Messiah. He would not be the Savior. God would use him in a great way, and through his lineage would come the Savior. We know the story of Noah. We'll look at that in the weeks ahead. But I want us to stop and consider something this morning. What would bring about in Lamech's heart to name his son Noah? Because he didn't have the whole Word of God. He didn't have, he didn't have the book of Genesis. He was the book of Genesis. But you know what he did have? First of all, he had the promise that was given to Adam. Genesis chapter 3. Look back at Genesis chapter 3. You know, even as God dealt with Adam and Eve because of their sin, there was still hope. And there was a promise. Genesis chapter 3. Verse 14. The Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And then there's this promise, verse number 15. And in theology, it's called a seed promise. And in other words, it's a seed that would take root throughout the scriptures. It's a promise that starts in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, and yet we see it throughout all the scriptures until the coming of Jesus Christ in the gospel. But for Lamech, this is all he had, folks. But this is what he had. And as little as it might seem to us, as just one verse, as it is to us. And as we know, and as we study, and we see the scriptures unfold in Genesis chapter 3, in the latter part, where the Lord God made skins, coats of skin, and clothed them. In Genesis chapter 4, where it speaks about Abel offering up a lamb for sacrifice. Where we go on in Genesis chapter 22, and we read of Abraham bringing his son up to the mountain, about to slay him on that altar. God stays the hand of Abraham. And Abraham sees the provision of God and says, this place will be called Jehovah Jireh, for in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And we continue on in the history of Israel, and we see the Lamb of God. God says, I will pass over you when I see the blood of the Lamb. We go to the book of Isaiah and we reread of that lamb in Isaiah 53. And all of a sudden we come to the gospel, and John the Baptist stands there and says, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And we are so blessed to have all that scripture given to us. And what Lamech had, as little as it was, it was as precious to him as all the prophetic scriptures and truths that we have given to us. For in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, it says this, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shall bruise his heel. Did Lamech understand it all? I don't know. I'm not Lamech. I wasn't there. But I know this, that when Lamech names his son Noah, when Lamech is just like you and I, looking around at all the toil and all the trouble and all the labor and all the heartache and all the stress and everything because of the curse that came about as a result of the sin of Adam. Lamech held on to a promise that yes, that serpent would bruise the heel of the seed of the woman. But that seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. And one day there would be victory. One day there would be victory. And Lamech said, there's hope. There's hope. Because that promise it was given, even in the day that the Lord dealt with Adam because of his sin. But you know, there's something more. Because in that promise, that promise was specific in this regard. That promise pointed to a person. That's a second thing. Lamech knew, he believed, that promise of rest, that promise of comfort, that promise of victory would come through a person. Back there in Genesis chapter 3 and 4 and 5 and 6. Men like Lamech, men like Seth, men like Enoch, men that called upon the name of the Lord. They knew the promise was there. They knew the promise. They didn't have everything that we have. They didn't have all the scriptures, but they had a promise and they held tight to that promise. And that promise was a promise of hope, a promise of rest, a promise of peace, a promise of victory, a promise of deliverance. They also knew that promise would come through a person. For it had been the Lord God that had made coats of skin and clothed Adam and Eve. And as the scripture goes on in Genesis chapter 4 down to Genesis chapter 5, you can see that they understood that this promise would come through a person. For in Genesis chapter 3, when we go on in verse number 16, right after the Lord says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head and thou shalt bruise his heel. Very next thing the Lord says is, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. And as difficult as that would be, in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. And even in the midst of God's pronouncement of judgment upon sin, there's a gleam of hope because that promise would be a person. And the Lord promised to Eve that she would have a child, that there would be children. It'll be in sorrow, but I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Look at Genesis chapter 4. Here we can see how this promise of a person, that God would bring forth it, that God would send, continues on. Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. Do you understand that this morning? How precious those words are, how how important those. There's hope. I've gotten a man from the Lord. God has given us a son. We know in Genesis chapter 4 how that worked out. The son was Cain, and she had another son, Abel. And Abel offered a right sacrifice. And Cain, in his anger and his wrath, because he was jealous, and, well, he killed Abel. But then you come down in Genesis chapter 4, verse 25. And Adam knew his wife again. And she bare a son and called his name Seth. Abel has been killed. Cain has departed from the presence of the Lord. What about the promise? What about the promise of the seed? Abel is gone. Cain is gone. She has a son. She calls his name Seth. For God hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel. Another seed. There's still hope. There's still hope. And Lamech lived during the time of Seth. And Lamech knew the promise that there would be a seed that would be raised up. And that seed, that person would bring about victory. And Abel is gone. Cain's departed from the presence of the Lord. So it can't be Abel. It can't be. Definitely not Cain. What about Seth? What about Seth? And for over 100 years, Lamech walked and talked with Seth. And I just wonder, how many times in the course of that span did Lamech look at Seth and say, I wonder, is he the one? But Seth is gone. Seth has died. It certainly wasn't Enoch, because Enoch went before Seth, and Enoch's taken up into the presence of God. And Lamech says, maybe my son, Noah, will be the one. Maybe my son, Noah, will be the one. He says, this same one shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our path because of the ground which the Lord had cursed. But no, Noah wouldn't be the Messiah. Well, we read of Noah, and the Bible says in the book of Luke chapter 3 that as it goes through the generations from the Lord Jesus Christ all the way back, it says of the son of Noah, the son of Lamech, the son of Adam, Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. And we know that lineage. And we know the picture that Noah and the flood and the ark were point of deliverance and of victory through the person of Jesus Christ. But you see, Lamech's hope was in a promise, the promise of a person. And also, Lamech's hope was also through a path of faith, because you know what? When you just look at those simple words of Lamech, you understand this. Lamech believed the promise that was given in Genesis chapter 3. As simple and as concise and is just a seed that promise was. Lamech believed. Chapter 4 says, men began to call upon the name of the Lord. And the Bible says the path to deliverance is through faith. For by grace he's saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But Lamech says, I'm going to name him Noah. Because there will be rest, there will be deliverance. And while his son Noah was not the person, was not the Messiah, it was all beginning to point to who that person really is. And if you'll turn over to Matthew chapter 11, it all comes to this, folks. The only person that can give anybody rest from sin and bring you into the presence of God throughout all eternity to the riches of his glory in a heaven where there is no curse is one person, Jesus Christ. There is no other. Oh, there were many people throughout the Old Testament that were used of God in great ways, bringing us up to John the Baptist, who would point to one person, Jesus Christ, and say, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. But there is only one person. There's only one name under heaven given among men, whereby ye must be saved. And in Matthew chapter 11, in verse number 28, this one person, Jesus Christ, says in verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. From Lamech all the way through, every step of the way, the Bible clearly speaks it was all leading to one place, to one person, that the fulfillment of the promise of God of deliverance from sin would be accomplished so that you and I might find rest. And how is that rest brought about? Through the finished work of Jesus Christ. For when Jesus Christ came to this earth, he died for our sins, according to the scriptures. Boy, I'll tell you what, you couldn't hear a clearer message about the gospel than you did the other night at the Fall Festival. Amen? Boy, I tell you what, I thank the Lord for Pastor Donnie, that message, it was preached the other night. The gospel is this, the good news is this, that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. That Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. That he was buried and that he was raised again the third day according to the scripture. That's the gospel, folks. And everything was pointing to that. And as we look back, it all goes back to him. And the only way to find rest from sin in your life is to repent of your sin and place your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know, there was a man named Nicodemus, a rabbi, a teacher of the law. And he came to Jesus Christ one night. Jesus Christ said to that man, ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. And folks, that's the message of the whole Bible. That's the message of this whole book, is you must be born again. You cannot see, you cannot enter the kingdom of God unless you've been born again. You might say, well, how am I born again? Well, you're born again by understanding that you've sinned against God. The Bible says we've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. Yes, it came through Adam, but we've all sinned. The Bible says Christ died for our sins according to Scripture, was buried, raised again the third day. The Bible says if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. And I trust this morning, my heart prayer this morning, is that everybody in this room this morning would be born again, is born again, or would be born again by faith in Jesus Christ. Listen, if you're here this morning, and you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's the message you need to hear. That's the message you need to believe, because the Bible says, there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And Lamech's message was one that would point to his son, but through his son it would point just one more step that would point to a Savior named Jesus Christ who would die upon a cross for you and me and be raised again the third day. And even now is at the right hand of God, pleading to you to be saved this morning. Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? This morning, each and every one of us needs to ask ourselves this question. Have I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior? Or am I still yet in my sins? Because Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. If you're here this morning without Jesus Christ, please come to Him today. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ this morning and be saved. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You this morning for Your word. And Lord, I pray, oh God, I pray if there's someone here in our midst this morning, someone here this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, Lord, I pray this morning that they would understand that they've sinned against God and believe that Jesus Christ died for them, was raised again, and call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Lord, we thank You and we praise You in Jesus' precious name. Amen.